Welcome to the Tradies in Business podcast with your hosts, Warwick Bidwell and Nicole Cox. Divert your phone and grab a brew as Waz and Nick unpack tips, tales, secrets and stuff-ups from guests both inside and outside your trade, helping educate and inspire you to break the cycle of gut-busting and money stress and create a true trade business.
I've got a confession to make before we lead into today's show.
Oh, really?
I do. Normally, before a show, I do a fair bit of research into who we're talking to, what we're going to talk about. But today I've done none and I was blindsided.
You're welcome.
I was absolutely blown away.
Well, I mean, I did sort of drop you in it.
Big time.
Because often doing these podcasts, it's hard to keep it natural and conversational.
Agreed.
When we've chatted to a guest and we've researched them and they've got an idea of the questions that we're going to ask. And, you know, we try as much as possible not to do that. Mm. Some people freak out when they don't know what we're going to ask them on the show. Maybe they don't trust us or something.
Mm. We've got to check in history.
But I'll be honest as well, today's guest was fairly spontaneous and unplanned. Mm. I literally, so I do a bit of hiking and overnight hiking, as some of you might know, and I'm in a couple of hiking groups on Facebook, and I saw today's guest actually posting on there about food prep and dehydrators and all that sort of stuff. And so I just commented about, you know, what I've done with dehydrating meals and stuff. And, you know, we had like two or three comments, discussion about different foods and how it works. And I saw that she was doing this thing called a walk of wonders.
Mm.
And I thought, I wonder what that's all about. And I saw a few other people comment on it. And I went and had a look and figured out that she's doing this 1,000K solo hike down on the southern coast of Western Australia.
Where there are snakes.
You're really fixated on that, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
And that not only that, which, you know, that in itself is pretty impressive, but she's decided to do it to raise awareness and funds for mental health.
Which is phenomenal, but let's not forget the real clinch point here. Our guest today isn't even from Australia.
No. So she's French. She's been traveling in Australia and New Zealand for the last 3 years, I think she said in the
mm-hmm,
interview.
Mm-hmm.
She's a 29-year-old woman, single, and she's going to walk solo 1,000 Ks.
With a 20-kilo pack.
Yeah.
She's
had to organise all of her own food drops, you know, water resupply, all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, pretty amazing. And I guess, you know, even more amazing than that, and she talks about it in the interview, is her own experience with mental health and, you know, I guess how that's affected her and touched her life as well from a very young age and sadly even more recently here in Australia. So yeah, this is one of those like out of nowhere interviews. We've literally slotted this into our publishing schedule because of the timing of when Sophie starts her walk. So have a listen to this episode. She speaks from the heart.
She's
got
amazing.
Fantastic message and doesn't appear to be as worried about snakes as you are, Coxie.
But after you've listened to the episode, we really want to know what you think.
Mm.
If these are the kind of guests that you want us to be talking to, because I'd love to do some more of these kind of off-the-cuff, inspirational-type podcasts, not always just about business, because we all need a bit of a kick in the bum to do things better sometimes. And this is one of those, I've got to say. But please drop by the group, Tradies in Business Facebook group. Drop us a line. There'll be a link to this show in there, so you'll find it. If you can just drop a comment on there and let us know, is this the kind of thing that you're looking for from us? Do you prefer it when we do the more educational episodes? What is it that you'd like to hear?
Mm. And, stick around till the end of this one. We give you all the links to actually get on board and support Sophie in her walk and also to support the fantastic organisation that is Headspace. So enjoy.
Enjoy. Hello, listeners, and welcome to Tradies in Business, the podcast.
G'day, listeners.
How are we?
I'm good.
We've got an interesting guest today. We've got a lady called Sophie. And Sophie, can you tell us who you are and why we're talking to you today?
Because Coxie's got no idea.
Hi, nice to meet you. So I'm Sophie. I'm from France. I've been traveling in New Zealand and Australia for 3 years. And I'm talking to you because you found one of my posts on Facebook about my new project called The Walk of Wonders.
Wonderful. Well, tell us a bit about what is the Walk of Wonders.
So this is a project I started 2 months ago, and it's about hiking 1,000 kilometers between Albany to Kalamenda in Western Australia. Mm-hmm. And I'm doing it raising funds and awareness for mental health.
Fantastic. So
this is the, Bibbulmun Trail, isn't it?
Exactly, the Bibbulmun Track in Western Australia.
Okay.
Yeah.
And for anybody who is a hiker, they probably know the name of the Bibbulmun Track.
I found that it's not that, it's renowned in Australia, but compared to other big tracks in the world, it's not that famous. It's 1,000 kilometers. People choose to hike it in sections or end-to-end. So what I'm doing is what they call the end-to-end, which is either from north to south or from south to north. So I'm doing it from south to north, from Albany at the bottom of Western Australia.
Mm, wow.
How's your feet feeling? That's huge.
So 1,000 kilometers. How many days is that likely to take you, Sophie?
That's pretty big. So it's hard to exactly figure out how long it's going to take. I'm planning on something like 2 months, like 8 weeks, about 8 weeks or 9 weeks or 7 weeks. But I don't really want to go fast. I really want to take my time and take care of me on the track and enjoy it as much as possible. There are some sections, so there's like tons in the way where you can have a rest and have a shower and talk to your family. So some people skip that and they just race and they go very fast, and I'm not going to be part of those people. I want to have my rest as well.
I can imagine. Actually, I can't imagine. I can't even get the logistics of this right in my head. You must need to carry all your gear with you. So I'm assuming that there's longer periods of time where you're out of contact from, I guess, what we'd normally call the real world, that maybe isn't as real as what you're actually experiencing. But so you've got to carry your tent, your sleeping bag, your cooking utensils, some food. That's an awful lot of stuff to take with you. How do you prepare for such an adventure?
That's a very good question. So I have a hiking backpack, and I thought I would manage to have it between 10 and 15 kilos. That was my hope. And at the moment, I'm about to start with 20 kilos on my back. Wow. So we'll see how it goes. I couldn't manage to make it any lighter, so that in these 20 kilos, you have the absolute minimum in terms of clothes. Mm. And then food, 3 liters of water per day, about 4 kilos maximum of food, and then obviously all the sleeping gear, which is the tent, mattress, sleeping bag, even a little hiking pillow, all to be very comfy in my tent, and all that is necessary for cooking, so a gas cooker, everything, and then obviously some toiletries, some safety set, whatever is needed. So it's really hard to reduce it. I know some people manage to be much lighter than me, but I find it already pretty light. So we'll see. It's heavy to carry, but considering what you need for 2 months, it's quite good. And at each, the section are between maybe like 4 days to the maximum will be a bit above 10 days. So you have to be self-sufficient for this time. And as you said, you don't contact anyone. Most of the track is out of reception anyway. Mm. So you have to be self-sufficient and carry all you need. You can refill your water at any campsite, obviously. You don't carry the water for 10 days. So that's quite a lot to prepare. And I've been sending myself parcels in each village that I'm going to cross. And I've been delivering them myself. So I'll be able to refill with tons of beautiful things, and I made myself some nice treats and gifts. So I'm quite all set and ready to go, actually.
So how much preparation has gone into something like this? I mean, the walk in itself is fairly epic. 1,000 kilometers is a long way in anybody's language. But what about the preparation, Sophie?
You mean the preparation physically, like the training?
Yeah, and even just putting together your food parcels, your resupply parcels, researching gear and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, we're all different, and I'm absolutely not a model, because I've been reading in a few hiker websites and like YouTube videos that for a track like this, you need to start prepare at least 1 year in advance and do a little bit every week. And I literally started to prepare just before Christmas. So this is like...
2 months ago, 3 months ago.
Two months and a half before. And also because we're going to talk about it after, but because my project has a over project inside it, my preparation has been mixed with these two aspects of the project. And so, yeah, so it's been quite of a race, and I actually decided to quit my job earlier than I thought. I quit my job to have a full month where I can focus every day on that at the end. So yeah, so it is all between, I bought a lot of gear, I already had a lot of things, but I researched the best thing I could have, the backpack itself, the hiking poles. Like, I've been really, really researching the best things possible, and then it's about talking with people who have done it before, and I have a lot of hiking friends, so that's a good thing. But yeah, talking with them, having advices, and then collecting everything that suits me, because we're all different, so I had to find my own way through. I've been doing quite a lot of overnight hiking before, nothing as long, but let's say maximum about 1 week. So it's kind of the same thing, but you're going to combine it week after week. You're just going to go do it in a row. So, which is great, is that I already have the experience of it, and I know how it feels and all of that, but still it's much different, because you have to think ahead for 2 months. And even the food is a tricky part, because I'm not sure how much I'm going to eat. I'm not sure if I have planned too much or not enough. So you just try, and then you adjust during the track. And I guess you have to leave some room for what is unprepared. Even when I really prepared the track itself, I read the sections, I had a meeting with the Biberman Track Foundation, which is a group of volunteers that are absolutely wonderful. You can prepare a lot, you can read the map, you can learn by heart everything. At some stage, you just really need to make sure your safety is fine, and then you have to go and be able to adapt to any situation, because you don't know know what you're gonna find. So it's about also preparing yourself mentally to walking into something that you never experienced before. So, and then obviously there's physical preparation. So I've been going quite a lot to the gym and trying to do more training, but I wish I would have started that earlier, because obviously I'm quite fit now, but you always feel like, oh, if only I was more.
Of course.
So yeah, we'll go from that and we'll see what happened, you know.
Wow. So Sophie, will you be totally on your own for the entire process, or do you have people joining you at different parts of the process?
No, I've been my own. I have a few friends and even people who follow the project here in Perth that are like, oh, I wish I can come for a day or two. So if anyone is keen, like, obviously everyone is welcome. It's hard to set any appointment for a hike, because I don't know how far and how fast I go, but because I've been in touch at every turn, we can figure things out. So I might have a few visits, I hope so, and probably at the end of the walk with the association Headspace I'm raising funds for, we want to make something happen, like having the last kilometers with other people and do something happen. But we will see, like, I'm not there yet. But yeah, I'm gonna be working by myself. Yeah.
That's fantastic. Look, I'm standing right here in suburbia in Queensland feeling very safe, and I'm terrified for you. I just think, not only is that a physical challenge, not only is it challenging because you have no idea what potentially could happen or you find along the way. We have snakes. Hello. No thanks. But also, that's a real mental challenge for me. I'm constantly stimulated. I'm constantly communicating or sharing or being in touch with people. The idea of being completely out of touch for a whole week at a time with nothing but me and my thoughts actually terrifies me. Do you prepare for that? Is that something that you also work towards being, I guess, strong enough? Would that be the right way to term it, to be able to get through those long periods of complete silence?
That is so interesting. I really like that. Okay, I will try to answer the best as possible. I think at the moment, to be honest, I do have insomnia. It's been a few days that I wake up in the night when I was really easy before, and my worries are all about my physical strange. Like, I'm just worried that I won't be able to finish because I'm going to, I don't know, twist an ankle badly or have a blister that get infected and put me out of track or you know, I had surgery on my knee, so I don't know how my knee is going to hold. Like, I'm all worried about this, but about the mental challenge itself, I'm so excited. I can't wait to struggle. I can't wait to be in front of myself. I can't wait to want to give up, to be like, why the hell am I doing this? Because, you know, yeah, there's a few things to consider. You're going to struggle mentally because of the silence, but also because of the actual stimulation, because it's on and off. Like when you hike, and you have pain in your body as well that evolve day after day. Some days you're going to wake up, you're fine. The next day your legs hurt so much. And then you just wake up in a bad mood. And then through the day you see something wonderful and you're such in a good mood, or you meet someone on the track that changed your day. And I've been through that in shorter hikes. And honestly, my shittiest day are the best memories because something happened constantly that changed it all. So this, I'm actually excited. I can't wait to see what's going to happen on this longer hike. And about the silence and all of this, I always been very fine with it. I actually love to not hike with music or anything because it's a moment for me when I manage to meditate. Like, I didn't even know you would call that meditation in the past. I got to know that recently, but I managed to connect with the birds, the trees, the nature around me, and it's absolutely a beautiful feeling. But I heard many people who did some longer hike told me you should download podcast, you should have ebook, like audiobook and stuff, because at some stage it's very hard because you start, a friend of me said, you start cleaning your room
because
you're going to create the stimulation in your head yourself and you're going to go through everything. And I'm like, okay, I haven't experienced that because I guess I was hiking on shorter hikes. And so I did follow her advice and I will see what happened. I did took some audiobook and podcast and would see if I need them to actually not face too much of this, or maybe I need to face all of that and we'll see what happened. But I think there's also a lot of stimulation because you actually start to wonder, am I on the right track? There's a noise, there's a storm coming, there's a hiker coming. I don't know. I don't know, but I'm not worried. I'm actually very curious about it. I'm much more worried of injuring myself, but I'm not worried about the mental challenge. I'm very curious about it because I know I'm not going to quit for that. Whatever happened, I know that if I quit, it will be for a danger or something about my health physically. But I don't know, I've been through enough shit, so I know it's gonna be okay.
so it's something that you know, this is probably a good point to ask you about that. Where does the idea to walk 1,000 kilometers solo come from? Why are you doing this?
Oh, that's really, maybe my answer gonna disappoint you because it's very simple. Each time I do an overnight hike, ever it's 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, maybe the maximum I did was 7 days. The last day, at the moment when I turn off on my phone, I'm just like, I want to cry. I'm just nostalgic. I'm just like, it was too short. I don't want it to be finished already. So, and it happened, like I started to hike 3 years ago, not that long ago. And it happened each time. So I was always thinking I need longer. And then I worked in a hostel, in a beautiful hostel in New Zealand, which is at the end of the Te Araroa. It's a track that comes from the north to the south of New Zealand. So it's much bigger than the Bibelmum. It's 3,000 kilometers and in conditions that are much harder than Australia. And I met many, many hikers in this hostel that were having a rest at the end of their big journey. So I heard so many stories. I was just looking at them and I was just like, these people are so amazing. And then so many of them were like, oh, you can do it too. You can do it too. And I was like, oh, me? No, neither. No, I can't. And then, I don't know, I think I just woke up one day being like, okay, maybe the Te Araroa is a big challenge, but there's the Bibelmum track, and I actually love the, I love Australian plants and trees, and it seems to be so beautiful on that track. So I was like, I give it a go. I cannot know if I'm able to do it if I don't start it. So I just have to start and we'll see.
That's right.
So yeah, that's it. That's really simple.
And so you mentioned Headspace before. Like there's, I guess, a bigger reason behind your walk. Can you tell us a bit about that, Sophie?
Yeah, I'll be very honest. The first idea was the walk itself. I woke up one morning and I decided to commit. I had this idea for like more than a year in my head, but one morning I said, okay, I'm going to do it. So that was just before Christmas. And I guess mental health and involving myself in all these topics is something I want to do for a long time. And I guess one morning in January, I just realized I was ready. I don't really know why these days especially, but I just woke up and I was like, actually, this is the time. Other people do these things and I always find it wonderful. I decided to do this Biberman track. Maybe it's through that I can start my job, like start my mission. I don't know if I can say it this way, but I do want to do that for a long time. And actually hiking has been something so positive for me if we talk about mental health. So, and not only for me, I know it's quite a lot of people in the same situation. So let's try. And I had no clue because I'm not from Australia. So I have no idea what is happening here with mental health. I don't know. So I started to just Google like Mental Health Association and read website. And I've been reading quite intensively because before even contacting anyone, and the few association I contacted, they all were amazed by the project and wanted to be with me. And I just had a wonderful contact with Headspace. It's a beautiful Australian association that wants to help young people between 12 and 25 years old roughly, and it's about helping them in any kind of situation with their own mental health, any kind of situation really, from studying to family to deep trouble to whatever it can be. And they manage to have a team and contact other services and put together everyone together on the same board to answer each situation individually and just provide some support. It's all free. Like people can just come, even parents as well, parents can just come, or young people, for free, have an appointment, start to talk about their situation and start to see some light, and just everything is done with so much compassion and out of hospital environment. It's I was just absolutely amazed when I discovered the association and I met them. And now I work with them kind of, you know, on the project. I had an appointment yesterday again with Headspace Fremantle, and this is something I never knew exist. I never seen something like that in France when I was younger personally, and I find it wonderful. So if I can just like help a little bit this kind of initiative, like, oh yes. Of course.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's about Headspace. Yeah.
So have you had personal experience with, you know, mental health issues over the years, or you know, seen other people go through that?
Yes, of course. So personally, I had quite a lot of challenges to face with mental health since a very young age, and until not. Like, I mean, I don't really know when it started, when it finished, but I can definitely say that I've been myself a young mental health patient, even if I don't really like this term. But I won't go into all the details because I'm not sure it's what we need to hear, but I definitely know what we talk about here. And what I noticed through all these years when I was a teenager or even kid is that I never talked about it. I could never really have any kind of conversation about it. There was a lot of shame and fear around it. It was very taboo, not only in my family, in society. Like even I remember in high school, some of my trouble can be seen on my face, to just say it. And I remember being very afraid of people looking at me and wondering if everyone knew and what people would say in my back. And you feel so alone. And then years later, you start to read numbers and you're like, wait, on that days, probably around me, there was at least 10 other young people in the same situation, a near similar situation. We were all having the same fears and not talking to each other. And this fear of judgment, I mean, I talk in my French point of view, so I was in France, and it's extremely hard in France, the judgment and the way people look at you, and I evolved with that, and the way I went out of my own troubles has been through, I've been hospitalized, and after that, I decided to show everyone I was okay, because you have so much guilt, you know, you make all your family and friends suffer, it's very, very hard, and I just wanted to show I was okay, so I don't regret that, because I managed to just, I moved to another city, and I rebuilt myself. And that required giving up on things that were profoundly me, like writing, reading, literature. Like, I just rebuilt myself and did other things. And I'm glad I did, because it took me out and I could see that people hadn't any idea what I was going through, and they were considering me as a normal person. So that was my whole goal, to be a normal person. And that's fine. That's fine. For a while, that's fine. But I guess at some stage, it doesn't work. At some stage, you're just like, oh, that's, yeah, it and doesn't it's, work. So
it's such a challenging way of describing, you know, we talk about people who are normal and people who are sick or unwell or mentally ill or whatever. And there's that sort of, you're either this or you're that. Mm. Whereas the reality is it's normal to be unwell.
Exactly. So. Thank you. Thank you for that. Yeah, it's exactly that. And I realized it and being like, because for me, I never been sick, you know, it's some doctors who told me that. And I was always struggling with this idea, like, why am I sick? Like, I'm not sick. And and I was telling doctors, I'm not sick. So, you know, this idea that you say is that I think it's a big, big thing in the way we communicate. Because not only we don't communicate, but when we communicate in the wrong way, and we use the wrong words, and we lack of compassion and understanding just because we are afraid, not because we are bad people, but because if you put this limit, like, I'm normal or I'm sick, if you talk and being the normal person, you feel like you're safe and nothing gonna happen to you. Yes. The reality from what I've seen is that it can happen to absolutely any kind of person, and it probably happened to all of us in a way or another through our lifetime.
Yeah.
And we use wrong expression, but I've been trapped into that, and it's fine because it made me start to take care of me. And then I went back to myself in a different way, and I started to be extremely happy and back to myself through my travels mainly, and through hiking a lot. And the second part of my story that is actually for me right now is actually much more an important part, is that I met someone that I really loved with all my heart, and is just the most amazing human being, funny, like beautiful. And I knew he was struggling a lot, you know, I knew he had a lot of issues and problems, and he passed away 18 months ago. And I guess for me, I knew I wanted to help about mental health for a long time, but when this happened, well, first I was quite paralyzed and under shock, but quite soon after I was like, there's no time anymore. I lost too much time. For me, the price that I paid is just, I'm still working a lot on all of this and the guilt and all of that, but it's so important. I'm just horrified of how much I've been waiting when I knew what I had to say and when I knew what I had to do, and no, I have no time. And also I guess the feeling that you have nothing to lose anymore because you lost one of the most precious person in your life make you drop so many useless stuff. So it's a good thing that it happened for me, because I don't care anymore, you know. He actually used to say, I cannot please everyone. And I've been really, really helped by this saying of his, because it's true. And at least I cannot please everyone, but the people I can help, I'm going to help them for real, and I'm going to put myself into that. So I guess, you know, this idea has been here on and off, and with this project of the Walk of Wonder, I'm just starting something that's going to probably be much longer than that. That is just raising kindness, more than even conversation, because it's not all about talking. It's just so the way we talk, as you said, and having kindness and compassion toward each other, and just being human beings, and just not judgmental and all of that. So I don't know if it answered your question, really. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I'm blown away. Actually, I'm quite speechless. I you've said so much in a very small period of time, and you've touched on so many really important issues and things that we don't talk about enough. One of the things I'd like to take back, first of all, I'd like to say what an amazing positive thing that you're doing. This is, the conversation that we're having is such a positive conversation. It could be really different to the way we're talking about things today.
Yeah.
The way that you have been able to find some comfort in doing this positive thing for yourself, but also for everybody else around you, is just quite inspirational. It's quite amazing. And then I want to come back to the language that we use, because you've both touched on it. It's such an important point. When we're struggling, you know, life's tough sometimes. We don't need to feel added shame or burden of other people's opinions, or we don't need to be worried about what other people are thinking about us. And it does come back to being something as simple as compassionate and showing kindness. And that's something that we can all do in our day-to-day lives. And sometimes it takes somebody like yourself standing up and having a conversation like you are today and doing what you're doing and working on your project to, I guess, shine a spotlight on something that's missing from everyday life. So quickly we forget just to be kind. You see it in the playground from when kids are really little all the way through to adults. Adults are the worst. But we've forgotten how to be kind. Is there a way that you show kindness in your everyday that you think other people could do the same?
Yeah, it's funny that you're asking me that, because I'm not going to say how, because that would involve other people. But I realized a few days ago, I think I had a, I don't know if it's the right answer, but for me, it's an answer that came in my mind a few days ago. And I think we forget to be kind because we are afraid, not because we are bad people. It's all about fear. And I also do meditation and yoga. It hasn't been a long time. It's been only a few months. And there's a lot in meditation and yoga about gratitude, about dropping the fear, about letting go, about acceptance. And I'm discovering this concept. I'm pretty new to that. I'm not lying. The reason why I lost, well, I dropped my fears personally, and I guess I became kinder, it's because I had nothing to fear anymore, because I was such in a trauma space that I was like, whatever, like, I just don't want to see that happen all around. And I'm just, so you have to be very careful and not dragging yourself down to other people's stories and all of that. But yeah, it doesn't mean you have to carry the pain of everyone on your shoulders. But simply, I think, don't be afraid. Someone struggling is not a monster. Someone sad, someone unhappy is also someone very happy and very joyful at the same time. And if you are here to listen to a conversation one day, it's good, but it can also, showing support is not all about listening long stories. It's also about laughing together. If you know that someone is struggling and you're still like able to joke with this person, then you're doing a wonderful job. We all have different way to interact, and it's also about respecting ourselves. We cannot push ourselves to do stuff we're not able, like with our own stories, it's hard for us to do, like it can happen. But it's just about being present, being aware, putting the person in front of you first, and wondering what's in their life, being curious, being just open, and just, I guess, the way to be kinder is to remember that one day, we'll be very happy to have this person in front of us. And I guess why I'm doing that with so much positiveness and smiles and stuff is because the way I manage to feel better is because of all the smiling people around me. And they gave me these smiles, and I'm just giving it back. I'm not inventing anything. I'm not, it's just a constant trade of smiles, and it's actually a nice word. I'm gonna say that next time. We're just creating it, all of us. So the more people do that, the more it will keep happening. And it's all about dropping the fears. It's all because we are afraid of the mirror that the other person, like what rays in ourselves. And it's okay, look at yourself in the mirror and look at other people around you openly. And you'll see that the ugliest thing are also the most beautiful things. But you have to start looking. You have to start looking. The more you choose to not look, the less you're going to be kind. I don't know if it makes sense. It's hard to talk about this.
Absolutely. No, well, Nicole and I have both had our own personal experiences with, you know, our own state of mental health and people close to us, you know, struggling and working through things to various degrees. So, you know, it's certainly what you're saying makes a heck of a lot of sense, and we do talk about it a bit on the podcast. So it's fantastic to be chatting with you somewhat randomly, but I don't believe in coincidences all that much. So, you know, from a chance comment on your post in a Facebook group of hikers to chatting with you today as someone who's had some, sounds like some pretty deep experiences with, you know, mental health and loss and those sorts of things, to be going out and doing something about it. And I think that's what I was so impressed with. And I don't know how old you are, but you don't look that old. So
I'm 29.
Okay. So, you know, to be tackling something like this, I mean, as a woman, and to be doing it on your own, there's the potential for a whole lot of fear. And I really like that you talk about dropping fear as a way to actually be kind, because I think, you know, acting out of fear causes us to be aggressive and, you know, selfish and those sorts of things. And it's not a way to live a life with those around us. So I think it's a fantastic message.
Yeah, I guess fears are also here to protect us. If you're afraid of a snake, it's a good thing. If you're afraid of the fire, it's a good thing.
Yep.
But we just have too many. So maybe it's a moment to look at them and be like, maybe this is not appropriate. Mm. And it actually turned the person in front of me into something she's not, he's not. Yeah. So,
Awesome. So you are supporting Headspace and raising money for Headspace. We should definitely give a shout out to, you know, if our listeners are sort of, you know, hearing your story and going, I'd love to support or get involved, what's the best way for them to do that, Sophie?
Yeah, so the way to follow this project and to donate to Headspace, there's two different resources. The first one is the website. I don't know if you know about this website. It's a wonderful website called Give Everyday Hero. It's a fundraising platform, really, and you can create your own page for any project you start.
Mm-hmm.
So I have my page. So if you go to Give Everyday Hero and you research Walk of Wonders with an S at the end of Wonders, you'll find the project. And in there, you just have all the updates as well of all that's happening, and you can easily donate. I don't deal with it at all. It's great because the money goes straight to Headspace. They have an account on there, so I don't have to deal with it. I only see the numbers when there's some donation, which is exciting. And the second resource is my Facebook page. On the Facebook page, I just post all that happened. I might just post this podcast and all the beautiful things that are happening around the project. And my Facebook page is, the name is a bit funny, but it's called Like Fucking Whoa. this name is from a book that I wrote about my story with this beautiful man that passed away. And that page was created about mental health a few months ago. I just wanted to have a page where I can post stuff because it was uncomfortable to do it on the normal Facebook. And from that, I just decided to put the Walk of Wonders in there. And Walk of Wonder is woe.
Awesome. And we'll put the links in the show notes to both of those websites and to your Facebook page. And there's everything on there from you dehydrating eggplants to talking about mental health and preparing for a hike. So and even berating your French accent. So
And maybe there's a last thing about this project. I know you guys are very far away, and it's such a pity because I would have loved to have you, but we just organized a launch event on the 12th of March. If any of the people listening live around Perth, that's an open event, that's a free event. Like, you just come along, and it's not going to be very long. It's on the 12th of March at 5:30 p.m. at Headspace Fremantle, and we're just going to have a little chat. And actually, it's the chance to see what Headspace does, and they're going to explain about them.
That's fantastic, Sophie. I've got one question before we wrap up.
Yeah.
Have you ever met a snake, Sophie? You familiar with the snakes we have in Australia?
Speaking of fears.
Yeah.
If I ever heard of them, you said?
Have you met one before?
Oh, if I met... Yes. yeah, I did. Actually, I went on an overnight hike in Northern Territory called the Jadbulu Trail in August, which is beautiful. And with my friend, she was extremely scared of snakes. And I was fine.
Sounds like you got
it. And we had a few moments we were unsure, but there's one moment we were absolutely sure. We haven't seen him, but he was in the tall grass.
Yes.
And it's different the way they move than over any other animal. So it was pretty scary, but we were fine. And then recently, I think in November, on a track in around Perth, I saw, I think it was a python. So I could say straight away, that's not a brown snake or a tiger snake, so we're fine. And for some reason, the fact it was in the middle of the track, I was I was not afraid. I started to put my camera out and my friend was like, hey, we're trying. just because I don't know, I think if it would have been a brown snake or a tiger snake, I wouldn't have acted like this. But it was beautiful. They are so beautiful creatures. I have a snake bandage. I did learn how to use a snake bandage. I have a PLB, which is a safety device where you can call emergency even when you don't have reception on your phone. I'm aware that it's a risk. It's also why I took the hiking poles. Apparently, the vibration can help making them run away. I just be careful.
it's not the snakes you need to worry about. It's the drop bears.
Has anybody told you about drop bears?
No, not in Australia.
That's nasty.
I was more afraid of the white pig on my last hike than of the snakes.
The wild pigs.
For some reason, I don't know.
That's a
probably
fair point.
More wild pigs in Australia than there is native wildlife, unfortunately.
Yeah,
but anyway.
I just meet them and we'll see how we go, and I just talk with them and they'll be my friends.
Great. Yeah, just be kind to them. You'll be fine.
Well, it's very admirable what you're doing, Sophie, and we'll keep a track of your journey. When do you actually set off? When do you take your first steps?
The 17th of March in the morning. It's a Sunday. It's Sunday, 17th of March in the morning. So
great time of year. You've planned that well.
Well,
yeah, from Albany, and I'll be posting and giving news all along the track, and hopefully I reach the end.
Well, as we say, we'll put all the links to your Facebook page and to your fundraising page in the show notes. We'll be posting about this in the group. So for our listeners, if you're not in the Tradies in Business group on Facebook, make sure you join that as well. And we'll keep some updates going in there over the couple of months that you're walking, and we'll all be thankful for our lack of blisters and heavy 20-kilo packs. So, fantastic stuff, Sophie. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you for having me. That was such a pleasure. Thank you very much, guys.
That was amazing. Thank you.
All the best. Thanks.
All right. Thank you.
So there you go. 1,000 Ks, lots of snakes, heavy pack. Sounds like your kind of holiday, doesn't it, Coxie?
Oh, yeah. It's got me written all over it.
Now, if, like me, you were left wondering about the circumstances of Sophie's experience with her friend that she talked about, it's uncertain as to how she lost that person and what the circumstances were. So we did talk to her about that sort of off air, basically, you know, it was a tragedy, and it's obviously inspired her to do something about it.
And isn't that fantastic to take a tragedy and turn it into, maybe not turn it into, but use that to motivate a positive?
Absolutely, absolutely. Mm. And, you know, I just loved her thing about fear. You know, if we drop our fears, it's easy to be kind.
Even the ones of snakes?
Yeah, I don't see you dropping your fear of snakes anytime soon.
I have tried really hard, but we're just not good friends.
So, make sure you go and follow Sophie's page. And it literally is Like FKN Wow is the name of her Facebook page. I think you can only get away with that when you have a thick French accent.
Yes.
So I'm not even going to say it. But make sure you follow her page. If you're not in the Tradies in Business group on Facebook, go and join that. We'll be posting updates in there. We'll try and share some of her posts across there as much as we can throughout her walk. And, of course, go and find the donate page. Again, the links are in the show notes, and we'll post it in the group as well. And if you can, donate some funds to Headspace under Sophie's Walk of Wonders campaign. And, yeah, just be kind.
Please be kind. Be kind to yourself and come and check out the trade desk. Hey, how good was that? I'm getting better at things.
Oh, dear, oh, dear. So we've been recording premium content with some of our guests already. So some of our podcast guests are going into a little deep dive tips and tricks at the end of the public episodes. And we'll be putting those into the trade desk area in the back end of the Traders in Business website. And the way to get access to that is simply to go to the website, check out the trade desk. It's easy to find all the buttons and the information there. And for a carton of beer a month, you can actually get access to some super special offers. You'll get your first month's $49 back in about 7 seconds in the trade desk based on some of the value that our partners are offering to you as a trade desk member. So do make sure you go and check that out. Money back guarantee. You get plenty more of me and Coxie. There's video trainings and closed Facebook groups and live Q&As with guests and us and all sorts of cool value. So.
And no snakes.
And no snakes.
You give me a theme and I'm going to run with it.
Anyway, enough about snakes. Have a fantastic day doing whatever you're doing, Tradies in Business. And we'll speak to you in our next episode.
Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Tradies in Business podcast with Warwick Bidwell and Nicole Cox. Find out more about today's guest, tools for your trade business, and other cool stuff at tradiesinbusiness.com.au.